Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into a Tuesday, September 2nd edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. And right off the bat, we're going to go to the good doctor. Dr. Roto joins us. Going to get some fantasy football advice as we get ready for the NFL season, which will kick off Thursday, everybody. I hope you got your drafts in or at least have one scheduled soon. I know, Charlie, we've got our WWL draft tomorrow. Dr. Roto, you got one tonight. I appreciate your time, though.
Yeah, I got one tonight. I got one tomorrow. I got a lot to do, guys. It's a busy time of year.
Yes, indeed. First off the bat, I want to get into some Saints players, which you obviously being in black and gold country. Lots have been made about receiver Chris Olave heading into this season. What are your projections, say, for him in basically standard scoring leagues, I would say, for the receiver now that he's taken over that number one role for this squad? I know some people do have questions, obviously, with Derek Carr being the quarterback right now for the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, Olave is way better in a PPR format than he is in a standard format, right? So in standard formats, it's all about the touchdowns. So where Olave, you know, really shines is in the receptions. We're hoping he gets 90. If he gets 90 receptions, maybe he can get about 1,200 yards. That'd be a great season. But if he only scores five or six times, that hurts fantasy managers, right? So in a PPR, Chris Olave is going in round two. In a standard league, I might even argue he could be a round three pick.
So, Dr. Roto, I want to ask you about those year three receivers because it seems like it's been a recent trend. We were just talking with Mark Schlereth about this, the year three receiver bump where, like, these star guys kind of emerge. And it's a great class kind of entering this third year with Garrett Wilson and Drake London, Chris Olave, as we just talked about. Also, maybe as a deeper sleeper, someone that's been apparently looking pretty good at camp, Jameson Williams for the Detroit Lions. So what's kind of your thoughts on these year three guys and as far as PPR leagues go with these receivers that could kind of enter stardom this upcoming season?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I feel like years ago, it used to be year three, right? Guys would emerge in year three. But then things changed. Guys started playing really well in year one. Some guys in year two. This year, I would argue that Malik Nabers is going to have a fantastic season. I'd argue that Roma Dunze is going to be a terrific player. How about Marvin Harrison? So I think guys can emerge ASAP these days. That being said, Garrett Wilson, look, I asked for bold predictions on my SiriusXM Fantasy Sports radio show. There were a lot of people that said Garrett Wilson was going to finish the year as the number one overall fantasy receiver. Do I think that's possible? Probably not, but he finished top five or six. I wouldn't be shocked. Jameson Williams, Jared Goff is great at home. They have, I think, three of the first four games at home, so he should get out to a big start. But the problem I have with the Lions is check out week 16 and week 17. They're on the road in Chicago in 16, and they're on the road in San Francisco in 17. So Jameson Williams might get you to the fantasy playoffs, but he might not win you any.
Looking at the first round of drafts, if you have that top overall pick, a lot of folks have been, I guess, getting a little cute trying to go maybe with a Bijan Robinson or a Breece Hall with that number one overall selection. But to you, I'm just curious, is it still Christian McCaffrey? Is he the dude just because, obviously, rushing and receiving, what he can give you?
Yeah, I'm not taking McCaffrey. I've had the number one pick a few times this offseason. And I just have this adage, guys. Last year's best player is very, very, very rarely this year's best player. Already dealing with an injury. Trent Williams just signed today. I don't know. The vibes are okay. But I'm taking a lot of Breece Hall. I'm taking a lot of Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
Both these guys are in situations where, are you telling me that Breece Hall is not going to get, you know, I don't know, over 1,000 yards rushing and he had and a ton of receptions? So I think I'm getting the look. McCaffrey is a great pick, and if you want to take him, I can't disagree. I just don't tend to go after guys who are last year's best player. I'm taking Hall, I'm taking Bijan, I'm feeling great about it.
I got a question about the first round receivers. Obviously, you know, the situation with Jamar Chase is a little bit tenuous. We don't exactly know what's going to happen there. You know, CD Lamb getting extended, he's instantly becomes a top three pick, I would imagine, in PPR formats alongside guys like maybe McCaffrey or, you know, your favorite receiver up there and Tyreek Hill, who's a lot of people's wide receiver one as well. But if you're kind of in the middle to back end of the first round and you really want to grab a stud receiver, because I think there's also maybe not necessarily as many question marks as someone like Justin Jefferson, but with Sam Darnold throwing him the ball, what's kind of the situation there? But Amon-Ra St. Brown just feels like one of the safest kind of high floor type of receivers you can get in the first round.
Absolutely. St. Brown is a high floor guy. I think that's the right way to call it. I happen to like Justin Jefferson more than most people. Look at what Kevin O'Connell did with Nick Mullins and Josh Dobbs last year. He made them actually relevant. So Sam Darnold is better than both those guys, and he's playing in a dome. I think Sam has just had some bad coaching. I mean, honestly, and look, he went to San Francisco, played with Kyle Shanahan. What if he throws for 3,500 yards this year and 24 touchdowns? Justin Jefferson could certainly have about 10 of those touchdowns. I really like the value around pick 9 or 10 in drafts. I think A.J. Brown is in a really great spot. I think Garrett Wilson's in a great spot. I think picks 11 and 12 are the rougher ones because I don't want Jonathan Taylor. I really don't want Drake London. I really don't want Saquon Barkley. So if I'm picking 1 through 10, that's where I want to be now. Ja'Marr Chase, this is tough because Mike Brown is notoriously cheap. And right now, and also, you know, it's called game speed, right? Chase may be working out. Sure, maybe he's practicing on his own, but he's not in game speed. And that's when you see those soft tissue injuries when all of a sudden Chase is out for 3 or 4 weeks and you get annoyed by that. So I think what I like to say is this. If you're playing in the league with your friends, maybe there's a couple of dollars on the line, you want to pick Chase, I'm all for it. If you're in a league where maybe there's way more than a couple of dollars on the line, I might pass.
Dr. Rhoda, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor is one of those guys that you're avoiding. What do you feel about that zero running back strategy? I know that it's kind of become popular in recent years of avoiding drafting a running back early and then just kind of cobbling together a running back room. What's kind of your thoughts on that strategy?
I'm not avoiding Taylor. I just don't want to. It's just not a pick that I like making at the end of that first round, right? He's a good player. But what I tend to do is normally I don't draft running backs. The only reason I'm doing it this year is I think there are three great ones. And after those three, it drops off. So if I'm picking anywhere from like 5 to 12, I'm most likely starting with two receivers, maybe three. Give me running backs like Pacheco, Rashad White, Kenneth Walker, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon. Really love Joe Mixon. Give me James Conner. Give me Zamir White. I mean, guys like that. I think I can win with three receivers and two running backs like that. I think I'll be just fine.
Dr. Rhoda, definitely appreciate the time from you, especially what you got a draft, I know, coming up. Tell the good folks of not just fantasy football, but all things fantasy that they can get at drrhoda.com.
Absolutely. Check us out at drrhoda.com. Enter the promo code FLASH. You get a quick FLASH discount. We offer everything you want from DFS information, prop betting information, seasonal fantasy football for all sports. Look, we're committed to your fantasy success. And you can also find me at Twitter at DRROTO and on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. We'll help you win.
Appreciate it, Dr. Rhoda. Real quick, I want to ask you, I got a texter here saying, what about Marvin Harrison Jr.? Your thoughts on him?
Big fan. I mean, look, I don't think the Cardinals have a great passing offense, but Harrison should change that. If you can get him in round 2, I think he's absolutely a guy I'm targeting.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate it. You can find out his work, drrhoda.com. Also follow him at Dr. Rhoda on Twitter. Appreciate it and talk to you soon, man.
Good luck, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dr. Rhoda.
That was Dr. Rhoda's fantasy advice. I know drafts are still ongoing. The season starting Thursday, Charlie. I'm so looking forward to tomorrow night's draft with some of our guys from here.
I got to text Jordan and figure out if like they're determining the pick order early or if we're just going in kind of blind with what pick we're going to have.
I think usually you get it with the ESPN app. It's an hour before the draft. You find out the draft order.
Okay.
It's supposedly randomized.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to ask Jordan if he's kind of fooling her with that.
If he's going to do one early, because I'd like to prepare, but you know, we can just wing it. We'll figure it out as we go along.
When we get back from the break, we'll get into some sound. Alvin Kamara, Tyrann Mathieu speaking Monday. Want to get into it, see what they said. Coming back on WWL right after this.
Postseason baseball is here and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Bringing you to 7 o'clock. That's when the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, will take over for the Saints Hour. He'll have on with him WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer Jeff Nowak, Carolina play-by-play announcer Anish Sharoff, and also Saints Executive VP of Marketing and Chief Operating Officer Ben Hales. A great show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Check out the Saints Hour coming up shortly here. Just at 7 o'clock, right after we get off. We're going to get into the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line right off the bat here. James, I know you've been holding on, and I definitely see you've got an issue that I think all of us do. Not comfortable what you see with that offensive line of the Saints.
Yeah, well, you know, more than that, it's funny because I've as I always do, or try to every season since I've been down here, is go to the practice. I went to one practice. I didn't make the one at the Superdome, but I saw the one at Tulane. I saw the preseason games. But not coincidentally, I also saw Sean over at Denver's preseason games. The energy is just completely different. It's just like it's crazy to me. It's amazing from the fans to the players. You can tell by the body language. I mean, it's like night and day. It's like a funeral here right now. Everybody's just ready to walk the plank. And over there, it's, you know, Denver's always been had a raucous crowd, but we used to have one too when Sean was here. But I guess the bottom line to me is that it don't take Mueller to come back over here to figure out the offensive line stinks. Well, more importantly, the right tackle position. I think, Charlie, you mentioned earlier about Carolina. Carolina's defense and Atlanta defense is pretty much the same, except Atlanta has more talent. But they're going to move. Carolina's going to do the same thing that Atlanta does. They're going to move their best piece. And there's no hiding petting is what I'm saying.
Right.
You're going to kill him on a swim move. You're going to kill him on a swim move. I mean, that's over with. That's done. You got to do something. And to be honest, I know nobody wants to hear this, so nobody's going to, you know, agree with me right now, but Taysom is 26-15 overall. I would much rather, and listen, you will get, I don't want to say a haul, but you will at least get a swing tackle, a offensive lineman, a draft pick. If you traded Derek right now to Minnesota, because Minnesota, up until, you know, it's not a one-off.
You think Minnesota's in the market for a quarterback?
Who's the quarterback?
I think they're going to roll what they have in-house right now.
That guy's garbage. He's wasting car. Listen.
I was chatting with Mike Haas. He just showed up. You were saying about the Vikings quarterback situation?
Yeah, yeah. He thinks the Saints should deal Carr at the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, okay.
Right now, start Taysom, because what's the difference?
I mean, I'm surprised you're not saying start Spencer Rattler.
No, I mean, a lot of people are saying that.
Here's the thing about Rattler and the guy with the pop gun on who I like. Haner. You can give them plays. You know, based on down and distance, the tendencies of the defense, you know, you could do the same thing that we've done with Taysom. We could do it with scripted plays. You could run scripted plays throughout the season, but right now it's time to look. If you go with what you got right now, you're going to want to get rid of Derek because he's going to cave in. You have nobody to block for him. It's our fault. It's the scout's fault for picking up the guy. He has nobody to block for him. We got no weapons right now.
So you want to move on to Taysom just because you feel Derek Carr can't escape the pressure?
So I'll say this about the Vikings quarterback situation training to Minnesota. And Mike and I talked about this in the first hour. I think it was either the first or second hour. With Sam Darnold taking over that situation, they're really hoping that he can have kind of like a Baker Mayfield resurgence that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's something I didn't bring up with when we talked with Mark Schlereth about the surprise teams in the NFL last year. I mentioned the Houston Texans, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were one. Like, they came out of nowhere. We thought they were going to be in the tank for Caleb stage where they were going to finish with four or fewer wins this past year. They ended up making the playoffs and winning a playoff game, making it to the divisional round. And a lot of that was because of the resurgence of a talented former top three overall quarterback. And in, like, his, what, third team at that point, Sam Darnold's kind of in a similar situation. So, you know, they're hoping that he can make that kind of jump with Minnesota and Kevin O'Connell and all this other different stuff. I don't really see it, Steve. I was saying earlier to the listeners that I'm doing my kind of season preview, and
yeah.
I think the worst teams in the NFL. Fox, by the way, had their kind of power rankings entering the season, and they had the Vikings at like 24, or like they had them higher than the Saints, which was just kind of mind-numbing to me. I don't see it. I don't see it with Sam Darnold. I don't see it specifically with their defense. I think their defense is going to be terrible this year. I'm selling all stock in the Vikings. I'm selling stock in the Giants. I don't think the Giants are going to be any good. Obviously, everyone in the world is selling stock in the Patriots.
Right.
There's going to be a team that surprises us, though. And it could be if Sam Darnold has that type of Baker Mayfield resurgence for his career. Yeah, maybe the Vikings could surprise people. I don't think they're going to make a kind of swing move for Derek Carr or anything like that.
For you, are you a Baker Mayfield believer? You think he can duplicate what he did last season in Tampa?
Maybe not as good, but I think he can get close to it. I think Mike made a great point that people aren't talking enough about the Bucs in the NFC South. Everyone is riding the train for the Falcons.
Oh, for sure.
And we know
it's all about the Dirty Birds.
The
right
one
now.
Thing for me is that, yes, the Falcons have the talent, but, I mean, Raheem Morris isn't that good of a head coach. His history is not great. So, yeah, sure, maybe the Falcons can win the NFC South this upcoming year. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a runaway division for the Falcons. Some people have them going like 12-5. I don't see that.
It's just mind-blowing to me that they think Kirk Cousins is that much of a difference maker at quarterback. Sure, he's an upgrade what they had.
He's a huge upgrade from what they had.
You're not catapulting them, to me, at least, to the top of the division because of it.
I think they made some good additions on defense, too. And I can agree with Schlereth that they should be the favorite in the NFC South entering the year. But keep an eye on the Bucs.
Yeah, I still have the Bucs, honestly, as my favorite to win the NFC South.
I'm telling you, they basically, what they did was they won the NFC South this past year, and they kept everyone. They kept all their key pieces. They re-signed a bunch of different players, re-signing obviously Baker, but also re-signing Mike Evans, re-signing Tristan Wirfs, re-signing Antoine Winfield. They made some moves to keep their core in place. So they are feeling pretty confident about what they have there and that they can make another run at it.
Yeah, my biggest knock on the Saints going into the season, it's no secret, I think it's everybody's, is the fact that you're unsure of what this offensive line can provide. Is it going to be, you know, give enough protection for the quarterback and open up running lanes for Kamara and Co.?
Certainly not the defense is the question mark. And no. That's why when people have the Saints as like a bottom five team entering the year, I can't see it. I can't see it because the defense is going to be top 10.
Speaking of that defense, obviously, Charlie, going to get into our Saints sound that we have. Tyron Matthew spoke on Monday, and we're talking about this Saints defense. What are his thoughts on the black and gold unit?
We haven't really had a lot of turnover, you know, on defense. It's kind of like the same guys over there. We've added some young pieces. You know, we added Chase Young. You know, I think, you know, his presence alone is, you know, really going to help us out defensively. So, yeah, I mean, I think we got a solid group. You know, we're well coached. Yeah, we just got to get off to a much, much faster start, you know, than we have defensively, you know, the last couple of years.
Definitely need that faster start, not only from the defense, offense, and the entire team. Going to be crucial, obviously. You look at this schedule, the beginning slate of games, no pleasure walk, and it definitely lightens up as it goes through the season. But early on, you got a lot of tough matchups. Tyron was also asked, how important was it for the team leaders to be vocal in showing their support of quarterback Derek Carr, head coach Dennis Allen?
For sure. I mean, listen, like I can't always pick my family, but I love them, you know, and I support them. And, you know, I think, you know, it's important to kind of work through, you know, the ups and the downs, you know. And I think adversity is kind of good for everybody. You know, we all should kind of get a little taste of that, you know what I mean? So, but like those two guys are, you know, really probably like, you know, two of the hardest workers, you know, in our building. And, you know, we see that every day. And it doesn't always go as we script it, you know what I mean? But, like, those two guys are definitely guys that, you know, I believe in. And at the end of the day, like, you know, it's a quarterback-driven league, and, you know, the head coach and quarterback got to be on the same page. And, you know, we believe in them, we support them, and, you know, we encourage it.
Tyron Matthew talking about Carr and Dennis Allen there. And I didn't think it was maybe the most glowing endorsement there, Charlie, when it says, you can't pick your family, but you love them.
That was all over Twitter yesterday. It was circulating. But at the same time, like, you've heard, I remember what DeMario Davis said about the two of them. He's just like, listen, if you trust me, trust me.
Right.
The right guys are in place. So, I mean, you got all these leaders on the defensive side of the ball, and they're all on defense, right? You're hoping that Derek Carr can be
and
that
obviously
leader
they
on
should believe in Dennis Allen, obviously.
Yeah, because once again, the defense isn't going to be the issue for the Saints team. It's going to be a top 10 unit again. So, especially with Tyrann Mathieu talking about the presence of Chase Young, just his presence is going to improve that unit. But also, Deuce came on and talked about the improved linebacker core. You know, when they're healthy coming into this upcoming season, Willie Gay missing practice on Monday, that's going to be something we'll have to monitor what's going to happen with him on Wednesday.
Right, first injury report tomorrow.
Yeah, if he's going to be available for that practice session because he's going to be a huge piece of this linebacking core. And then the secondary. I mean, the cornerback room is the strength of the team still. So you have that, and then there's a lot made about the safety next to Tyrann Mathieu, but that's really because it's the only true weak spot you can point out on the Saints defense. Like, Colin Saunders is going to miss time with an injury, but still, Brian Bercy is ready to take that spot next to Nathan Shepard as the interior of the Saints defensive line. You have Carl Granderson and Chase Young on the edges. You can push, you know, Cam Jordan potentially on the interior on those NASCAR pass rush packages, right? The linebacking core is solid. The cornerback room is great. Like, you feel awesome about the Saints defense entering this upcoming season.
Do you see the initial roster depth chart that came out today?
Yeah, lots being made about that. I'm not putting much into it. Like, the
was curious to see, though, a few spots, like who was going to be that safety alongside Tyrann. And right
it's
now,
Howden.
Yeah, Jordan Howden.
As kind of expected, but they're going to swap him and obviously Will Harris in and out, and maybe Jonathan Abram if he gets called up from the practice squad. So we'll have to see what happens there. A lot of people were freaking out about
QB2, yeah.
Exactly. Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener. And so, you know, DA's basically come out and said that battle's not complete and it's not finished. So they know, obviously, if something were to happen to Derek Carr in week one and they would have to go to a quarterback, they know who they would put out there, but they're not going to make it known.
One last cut from Tyrann Mathieu. He's going into year 11, folks. Hard to believe that comes up so quickly already. And he was asked, do you still get excited for the start of the football season, even though you're not a young man anymore?
Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit of excitement, a little bit of nervousness, you know, anxiety. But like I said, man, like, you know, we've put a lot of work in, you know what I mean? Like we've been really, really intentional, you know, really since we got back, you know, in the spring, in April. Like, everything has kind of been, you know, for a purpose, you know what I mean, and kind of pushing us towards a goal. So, like, we're ready, man. You know, we had a great camp. You know, we're fairly healthy, you know, as a team. And, you know, it's going to be exciting for us to kind of come out, you know, like I said, start fast, play fast. And your best players got to play like your best players. And so, you know, I think that's the responsibility we feel and the challenge we feel. So, you know, I think it's going to be on us to continue to just kind of lead, you know, everybody in that direction.
Another alpha dog in that Saints locker room leading the way, and he talked about it right there. Obviously, you need your best players to be the best on the field.
yeah, for sure. And once again, the leaders on that defense, you feel so good about the secondary being led by Tyrann and the linebacking core being led by DeMario and that young kind of up-and-coming defensive end group being led by Cam Jordan. So great, great leaders all across the field at each level for the Saints defense.
Looking at that offense, we'll get into after the break here. Going to talk about Alvin Kamara. Yeah, his house up's for sale, but he's still committed to this city right now, looking for a trip to the Super Bowl, he mentions, in New Orleans. Obviously, the spot they want to be. Also, get into more of what AK had to say in the locker room yesterday. Be back with more sports talk right after this. Hang tight on WWL. Getting ready for the start of the Saints season Sunday, hosting Carolina. I want to remind everybody, too, that the NFL season will kick off Thursday night with Ravens at Chiefs. We'll bring you all the action in the AFC title game rematch. Pat Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs face off with two-time MVP Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. You can join us for Thursday night football, the season opener, pregame at 7 o'clock, kickoff 7:15 right here on WWLAMFM.com and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Going to get into back into more of our Saints sound as we get ready for this Carolina kickoff week one. Alvin Kamara talked to the media, always a great soundbite. He was asked, where is this team? Is it where they need to be right now to make a return for the playoffs we've been so starved of?
I mean, the season here now, so it's kind of like we're going to find out on Sunday. You know, that's going to be our first real, I guess, feeling of, you know, are we where we need to be? Are we where we think we are? Or do we still got a lot more work to do? Or, I mean, you know, it's early. It's game one. But, you know, I feel like you got to kind of come out hot and kind of establish who you're going to be. So we'll see.
definitely got to set that tone. Getting off to a slow start would not be good. Already the LSU Tigers seem to be behind the eight ball after week one again this year. And, you know, the Saints, we've talked about it a lot, the fact that the start of the schedule this year is tougher than the back end. So just stay alive and stay in the hunt. Don't get too deep of a hole when you're trying to close out the season and then we're going through every playoff scenario of what they need to do.
Must win.
Yeah, I don't win. I hate to say that week one, but it is.
It is. It's for sure is because the schedule that follows it. Like we talked about this a couple weeks back, Steve. The sports books came out with the odds for what a team's record was going to be after the first five games. And typically, if you lose three or more games, your playoff odds decrease pretty significantly than the teams that go 4-1. Obviously, 5-0, even like 3-2, have a winning record after those first five games. And the Saints, after that game against Carolina, Carolina is the easiest game of that bunch by far.
Right.
And maybe until basically the Denver Broncos game on Thursday Night Football, that's Schiller said that they were kind of a sleeper in the AFC, and they might be, but just on paper, it seems like the start of the schedule is just brutal for the Saints.
He's a Denver guy, too, so he might be leaning a little harder towards the orange.
True.
we heard that, obviously Tyrann Mathieu talked about heading into year 11 in the NFL. Well, believe it or not, Alvin Kamara, this will be year 8. How's he feeling going into this season?
Man, it's another year, man. It goes by fast. I mean, everybody wasn't here, but I know all y'all remember rookie Alvin, and now it's year 8, and I'm like, dang, it flies. Mark and Adrian Peterson and Ted Ginn, they all told me that, and I'm 2017. I wouldn't think I'd be sitting here. Like, I'm like the old dude now, like, damn. And I'm telling everybody else, like, man, this flies. It goes quick. So, I mean, it's a blessing, and especially to be in the same place for so long. Man, I was thinking about it last night. You just put in a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, and to be able to still be doing it, it's amazing.
Obviously, we know those contract negotiations don't seem to be going anywhere with a new deal for Alvin, but definitely sounds like a guy that still wants to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, for sure. But as he mentioned, nothing got done and nothing's going to get done, at least for now. And if he balls out and he earns a contract extension, good for him. But you got to do it this year.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, if he balls out, then he's going to have a bunch of suitors, and who knows if the Saints can end up paying him then.
I don't know if he's going to have a bunch necessarily, because he is going to be entering age 30 for a running back, which is, 27
consider
is typically
the death sentence, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Not 30, I know.
The general trend for running backs in the NFL is that guys don't typically get a second big contract. And especially if you're getting up there in age, if you're getting to be 30 years old, we'll see what happens. But if Alvin obviously performs, he's going to get paid by somebody.
Yeah, we're talking about, obviously, getting up in age, father time. Alvin Kamara now 29 years old, and he admits right now, this is the time.
There is no time to waste because, let's just say half. I'm at a halfway point. If I were to play 16 years or whatever, 10 years, or I'm on the back end of my career, right? So, that's just an assumption. But I don't want to waste no time. I don't want to sit here and say, I got time. There ain't no time. So I'm trying to run it up. Like, I'm trying to do what I can to have the most success, and then in this league, we measure success by a Super Bowl playing in February. So,
mentioning that Super Bowl, well, most of the media, local or national, doesn't really believe that this black and gold squad is going to, be in that number to be able to play in the Super Bowl that they're hosting. I think Jeff Duncan's column came out the other day, and three media members just had them with 10 wins. Other than that, it was either 9-8 or below. And, that's just not going to cut it for this bunch if they want to be a true contender. But Alvin Kamara was asked, can they surpass those expectations of the media?
I ain't going to lie. Look, I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch a lot of that stuff. I just hear what people talk about in here. And they're like, ESPN ranked us whatever or wherever. And these people are saying this and that. I don't really look at it. I hear some of it from just overhearing things in the locker room. But I don't really care about where, I think I've been pretty consistent in that throughout my career. Like, I don't care what nobody else say. I'm just worried about what's going on in this building. So whatever we have to do in this building to succeed every Sunday, that's what we'll do. So, whatever everybody else is saying, then good for them. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't take any offense to it.
What we got to do is head to break. Coming up soon at 7 o'clock, the Saints Hour, hosted by the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, going to take a break. Be back to close out this edition of Sports Talk right after this. Closing out Sports Talk, getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up next. So keep it locked right here for your black and gold coverage with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, coming up next here on the Saints Radio Network. Getting ready for the start of the Saints season Sunday, hosting Carolina. I want to remind everybody, too, that the NFL season will kick off Thursday night with Ravens at Chiefs. We'll bring you all the action in the AFC title game rematch. Pat Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs face off with two-time MVP Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. You can join us for Thursday night football, the season opener, pregame at 7 o'clock, kickoff 7:15 right here on WWLAMFM.com. And always streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Going to get into back into more of our Saints sound as we get ready for this Carolina kickoff week one. Alvin Kamara talked to the media, always a great soundbite. He was asked, where is this team? Is it where they need to be right now to make a return for the playoffs we've been so starved of?
I mean, the season here now, so it's kind of like we're going to find out on Sunday. You know, that's going to be our first real, I guess, feeling of, you know, are we where we need to be? Are we where we think we are? Or do we still got a lot more work to do? Or, I mean, you know, it's early. It's game one. But, you know, I feel like you got to kind of come out hot and kind of establish who you're going to be. So we'll see.
Definitely got to set that tone. Getting off to a slow start would not be good. Already the LSU Tigers seem to be behind the eight ball after week one again this year. And, you know, the Saints, we've talked about it a lot, the fact that the start of the schedule this year is tougher than the back end. So just stay alive and stay in the hunt. Don't get too deep of a hole when you're trying to close out the season and then we're going through every playoff scenario of what they need to do.
Must win.
Yeah, I don't win. I hate to say that week one, but it is.
It is. It's for sure is because the schedule that follows it. Like we talked about this a couple weeks back, Steve, that the sports books came out with the odds for what a team's record was going to be after the first five games. And typically, if you lose three or more games, your playoff odds decrease pretty significantly than the teams that go 4-1, obviously 5-0, even like 3-2, having a winning record after, you know, those first five games. And the Saints, after that game against Carolina, Carolina is the easiest game of that bunch by far.
Right.
And maybe until basically the Denver Broncos game on Thursday Night Football, that's Schlaer said that they were kind of a sleeper in the AFC, and they might be, but just on paper, it seems like the start of the schedule is just brutal for the Saints.
He's a Denver guy, too, so he might be leaning a little harder towards the orange.
True.
we heard that, you know, obviously Tyrann Mathieu talked about heading into year 11 in the NFL. Well, believe it or not, Alvin Kamara, this will be year 8. How's he feeling going into this season?
Man, it's another year, man. It goes by fast. I mean, everybody wasn't here, but I know all y'all remember rookie Alvin, and, you know, and now it's year 8, and I'm like, dang, it flies. You know, Mark and Adrian Peterson and Ted Ginn, they all told me that, and I'm 2017. I wouldn't think I'd be sitting here. Like, I'm like the old dude now, like, damn. And I'm telling everybody else, like, man, this flies. It goes quick. So, I mean, it's a blessing, you know, and especially to be in the same place for so long. Man, you know, I was thinking about it last night. You just put in a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, and to be able to still be doing it, it's amazing.
Obviously, we know those contract negotiations don't seem to be going anywhere with a new deal for Alvin, but definitely sounds like a guy that still wants to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, for sure. But as he mentioned, nothing got done and nothing's going to get done, at least for now. And if he balls out and he earns a contract extension, good for him. But you got to do it this year.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, if he balls out, then he's going to have a bunch of suitors, and who knows if the Saints can end up paying him then.
I don't know if he's going to have a bunch necessarily, because he is going to be entering age 30 for a running back, which is, you know, 27 is
considered
typically
the death sentence,
well,
right?
Well, that's what I'm
not
saying.
Not like, 30, I know.
The general trend for running backs in the NFL is that guys don't typically get a second big contract. And especially if you're getting up there in age, you know, if you're getting to be 30 years old, we'll see what happens. But if Alvin obviously performs, he's going to get paid by somebody.
Yeah, we're talking about, obviously, you know, getting up in age, father time. Alvin Kamara now 29 years old, and he admits right now this is the time.
There is no time to waste, because, I mean, okay, let's just say half. I'm at a halfway point. If I were to play 16 years or whatever, 10 years, or I'm on the back end of my career, right? So, I mean, that's just an assumption. But I don't want to waste no time. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, well, I got time. There ain't no time. So I'm trying to run it up. Like, I'm trying to do what I can to have the most success, you know. And then in this league, we measure success by a Super Bowl. We're playing in February, so.
Mentioning that Super Bowl, well, most of the media, local or national, doesn't really believe that this black and gold squad is going to, you know, be in that number to be able to play in the Super Bowl that they're hosting. I think Jeff Duncan's column came out the other day, and three media members just had them with 10 wins. You know, other than that, it was either 9, 8, or below. And, you know, that's just not going to cut it for this bunch if they want to be a true contender. But Alvin Kamara was asked, can they surpass those expectations of the media?
I ain't going to lie. Look, I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch a lot of that stuff. I just hear what people talk about in here. And they're like, you know, well, ESPN ranked us whatever or wherever. And these people are saying this and that. I don't really look at it. I hear some of it from just overhearing things in the locker room. But I don't really care about where, you know, I think I've been pretty consistent in that throughout my career. Like, I don't care what nobody else say. I'm just worried about what's going on in this building. So whatever we have to do in this building to succeed every Sunday, that's what we'll do. So, I mean, whatever everybody else is saying, then good for them. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't take any offense to it.
What we got to do is head to break. Coming up soon at 7 o'clock, the Saints Hour, hosted by the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, going to take a break. Be back to close out this edition of Sports Talk right after this. Closing out Sports Talk, getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up next. So keep it locked right here for your black and gold coverage with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, coming up next here on the Saints Radio Network.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.